Welcome to the Focus Forward Business Podcast for StudyMcKee.com.
Hey, this is Study McKee, and I'm here with the Focus Forward Business Podcast with my friend here, Ty Grady, and super excited to have Ty here today. Ty is a real estate investor, consultant, coach, speaker, author, renaissance man, and founder of Freedom Financial Institute. Thanks so much, Ty. We're glad to have you on the show.
Study, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to join you on your show. Been looking forward to it.
Yeah, appreciate it. So why don't you tell our watchers and listeners just a little bit more about yourself and what you're currently working on?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm a real estate investor. I do coaching, consulting. You know, so right now I'm working on a business that I'm very passionate about. And the company is Freedom Financial Institute. And what we will want to do, our focus is to partner with businesses, business leaders, business owners to promote financial empowerment, professional development, preparing for workplace shifts, and organization culture change on top of being effective leaders through coaching, workshops, and speaking events.
So what does financial empowerment mean to you?
Financial empowerment is having someone really financial difficulties. Many of us, we don't talk about money. We don't know how to manage our money, but profoundly sturdy finances impacts our lives. So when I talk to people about financial empowerment, financial education, we really want to get to the root, you know, of these challenges and difficulties so someone can start to look at financial independence and freedom and hold on to their standard of living.
Okay. And I know you're a big advocate of kind of getting control of that stuff, especially at the business level, the founder, the owner type level. But what should we do? Let's say, I run into this all the time, right? There are people, we go out and start the business because we're good at a thing. We're good at the thing we do. And this is the E-Myth definition, Michael Gerber too. And I found it to be very, very true. Like 90%+ of people go out and decide to do this, yet they don't yet really know how to manage people, or maybe don't have a lot of experience with it, don't necessarily know how to do the strategic and entrepreneurial work. And I get people all the time going, yeah, my numbers, my finances are just kind of, I don't have any handle or any grasp on them really, other than there's the bank balance accounting. There's still money in the bank, so we're okay.
Right. I hear that all the time. If you don't have great personal financial planning, then later for your business, thriving and succeeding. So it definitely has to start from that personal finance perspective. And there's a lot of competing priorities that people have to manage. Some people don't have enough money in the savings. We have to look at all the factors that we're looking at now, inflation, economic shocks. And some people just don't have a plan at all. And some people aren't sure how to get started because we never have these conversations. Most of us don't have these conversations in our families, in our communities, nor are we taught this at the university or at the high school from an educational standpoint.
Oh yeah, I remember a lot of times you're not taught not to talk about money. Right. The opposite, right? Oh, that's not not polite. We don't talk about that. So what are our first steps? Is that the first step? Just starting to talk about it?
I think we will. We talked about this earlier. We need to talk about it and truly look at the mindset. You're really big in the mindset. We have to get at the mindset and look at someone's difficulties, challenges. I like to ask people, what were your conversations about money? What were you taught about money in your family or your community? Because sometimes we look at these myths that money is the root of all evil. I'm not supposed to have enough money. I didn't have money in my family, so why should we talk about it? So it's truly getting at the difficulties of someone and then setting financial goals for themselves so that people can start to set goals to have something that they can be proud of, whether it be starting a business, paying off all your debt, sending your kids to college. We're working in a virtual world right now. Maybe it's working on vacation. and holding to your standard of living and finding a way to look at it first in the short term so you can have a significant liquid and short-term savings so to accommodate day-to-day needs, not desires, but we're talking about needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. What were your conversations about money? Because there is so much negative baggage in a lot of ways, or there's glorification of it, right? So how do we neutralize that? I mean, money's just a tool.
Sure.
Right? I mean, am I on target or kind of off base?
You're dead on target, Sturdy. Money is a tool, right? Money is energy. You know, money could be a place where because at the end of the day, we can't take money with us. And, I've created scholarships at universities, and money could be a way to give back, right? To build a legacy for yourself. So we have to understand how money can work, for us, while we're at our highest income earning levels, so we can begin to talk to our children and leave something for them in a legacy standpoint. If you do have children or an organization or some type of company or college or faith-based organization that we're attached to. So how can money work, for you? And that's the main goal, because you did say a fact that money is a tool.
Yeah, so when you're, how do you help people start to try to break into that and think about it a little bit differently and have those conversations? I mean, how do I make a plan when I'm like just paycheck to paycheck and trying to make ends meet and hit with a new bill, my tire goes flat and I need a new tire, right? Or all these kinds of things that happen to us on a daily basis.
Right. People can get stressed out.
Sure.
Sometimes money could be a stress point and a point of anxiety. So I would suggest that someone start with a spending plan, because our U.S. economy is made up of 85% of consumerism. So we have to find out ways that we can spend our money wisely. So creating a spending plan, I like to call it a spending plan, because
not a budget. The diet. Not a diet.
Your budget can scare people off, because sometimes it's a negative connotation that, you're trying to control my situation.
But right. No, I get that. So a spending plan. Okay, so, obviously we start with necessities, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else do you, how do you help somebody get onto that kind of a program? Because, we'll transition this back to the business side in just a second as well, but that's, because that's hugely important on both of these.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to be realistic with yourself and really get the numbers on paper. You have to create a spending plan for yourself. Put all your expenses in one column. Rent, mortgage, utility bills, cell mobile phone bills, apps that you're paying for, the Hulu, the Netflix, on down to what you spend every month in gas and groceries. We want you to have some fun money to go out and enjoy a movie or occasional dinner, and really get that on paper and enlist that, whether you use a notepad. You can use applications out there, Microsoft Excel, and list all of your expenses so you can see exactly what you're dealing with, because you don't want to fool yourself at the end of the day. And then list all of the income that's coming into your household, whether you're self-employed, your earnings on your job, full-time, part-time, gig jobs, however you earn an income, put that in one column. And then you look at both of those columns and you subtract your expenses from your income. And if you don't like what you see, you have to find a way to decrease your expenses or find ways to increase your income, because the goal is to find disposable income, to start setting aside for unplanned events, economic shocks, or economic downturns, just like we experienced with COVID-19.
So this first step of being realistic and kind of starting to write stuff down, it's the same for personal, it's the same for business, right? It's not the I have money in the bank account and I can make payroll this week. It's actually having some kind of plan and dare I say it, budget, right?
Having a budget, you have to stick to the budget. Well, and I mentioned earlier, you know, if your personal finances are off, then your business finances are going to be off because
likely, yeah,
as you know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know you're also a big advocate for employees as well in the financial stresses and stuff that they deal with. How can I, as a business owner, let's say that I've kind of got things dialed in a bit, but my team's stressed out, you know, there's, as you said, inflation just over the past few years is like 17-20% when taken, I think I did look this up, but like since 2018 or something, we're 2017, we're at like almost 20%.
Real inflation, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy, right?
That is. And people, and we have to inform people to reduce debt, because increasing your debt in a high inflation environment, you know, only stresses a person out. Because we have, and speaking on a business level to business owners out there, you know, we like to talk to organizations and businesses and business leaders about creating programs, financial wellness programs, so their employees need help with managing money and get the skills to complement already traditional benefits that they already offer to boost employment satisfaction and morale. Because the stats are this. More than 40% of Americans admit that financial stress makes it difficult for them to concentrate at work. Almost two-thirds of Americans constantly worry about money problems, and employees' financial stress is becoming a major issue for U.S. employers. And mm-hmm. The funny thing is, and ironically, employees expect employers to be responsible for their financial planning. And we know as business owners, so that's not the case for the employer.
Right. No, that's not even on our radar, right? Yeah.
What employer that you know is going to give someone a 10, 15, 20% raise to combat inflation? That's impossible.
Well, you know? And the other side of that too, though, kind of what I'm inferring from some of the stuff you're saying is you don't necessarily just throw more money at it. Education and some kind of mentorship or teaching a plan can help de-stress some of the staff and the employees as well.
Absolutely. Because when you have a workforce that is less stressful, that has less anxiety, we spoke about this previously in a conversation.
Yeah.
We're going to increase retention, increase employee engagement, and it's easily to implement, and it's going to support, you know, the employee, so they can start to bring their better selves to work and be more productive. And then once a business owner takes advantage of these financial wellness programs, I mentioned it earlier, you're going to reduce turnover rates, uh-huh. increase retention, you'll keep your top performers, and people will be more on board with staying at the company.
So what are these kinds of programs? I mean, I'm thinking back to 20 years of employing people and all, and I mean, be honest, this just would not have even occurred to me unless somebody had laid it out or explained it. I wouldn't have been on my radar.
Sure. There's something that just came out in 2022. It's the Secure 2.0 Act of 2022. Okay. And it's geared towards help strengthening the retirement system and Americans' financial readiness for retirement. You know, one of the main reasons why Americans reach the retirement age with little to no savings, sir, is because too many workers are not taking advantage or aren't saving enough, you know, for retirement. They're not saving for retirement through their employee plans. However, you know, even though these retirement plans are offered, sometimes many don't even participate. So this Secure 2.0 Act is set up so where it's an automatically enrollment for 401k plans, and it provides people the opportunity to participate unless they decide, you know, not to opt out. But it's geared towards significantly increasing participation as far as 401k enrollment to get people to start thinking about their retirement savings? Because I've had clients that's been on the job for 10, 15 years, and they haven't even started a 401k plan. And often companies offer matches, you know, up to 4, 5, 6% sometimes in a match, mm-hmm. and people leaving free money on the table. Also, there's something out there called automatic increases or escalations. Automatic escalations are designed mm-hmm. to periodically increase an employee's contribution to a 401k plan. For example, if an employer sets the automatic escalation at 1% a year, every year an employee's contribution rate is ready to recalculate itself, it increases by a point automatically. So it drives people towards increasing that 401k 1% each year so they can start to set money aside for themselves. And lastly, I would like to talk to people, your audience, about the sidecar account for savings. And it works like this. Employees set aside $2,500 for emergency savings and the company matches it. People haven't been taught how to save for retirement on their own, right? Because we just talked about right. it. We're not having these conversations. So we must build systems that provide more security for Americans. We're dealing with human suffering. We have to save people from themselves, because most of us haven't been taught how to manage our own finances, and people will continue to be stuck if we, you know, continue to let them do so. And taking out 401k loans, you know, I was just talking to a lady. She said every 2 or 3 years, she takes out a 401k loan to cover unplanned expenses, to cover economic shocks or negative money shocks. And this is right. a great way to invest in the workforce, and it'll build a stronger workforce, and it will be great for our overall American economy.
So I got two things for you. The first is, like, you were talking about the mandates in California, where I am. As of June 30th, just a couple, you know, this summer, this, actually, no, I'm sorry, 2022, last year, 5 or more employees, you're in a mandatory CalSAVERS is what they're calling it, but you have to either have a retirement plan or you're required to enroll in CalSAVERS for your staff. That's going to be down to one or more employees as of December 2025. So mandatory. Is that, you mentioned an act in 2022. What is that, every state now, or are they all moving that direction, or what's going on with that?
Well, we hopefully, you know, I've been in talks with people in that space. I think it's slowly going to bleed into other states, but people are just now speaking about it. And, you know, I go to Washington, D.C. sometimes. Uh-huh. Things in D.C., right? Things in legislation can sometimes move at a pace of a glacier. You know, but I'm
right. Well, sometimes you want it to, but
you want it to. Sometimes you want it to, right? But in this instance, I think it's something that's been spoken about. And then we have to make sure that large insurance companies, Prudential, TIAA, Lincoln Financial Group, you know, they can start to get at the head of this, because, you know, they're in that space where they offer 401k plans to businesses. So I think that larger companies, you know, with some legislation, with policies, and getting business owners like, you know, like you and I, small, mm-hmm. medium, and small sized businesses, to really start thinking about investing into their workforce and driving them towards thinking about their retirement. Because, you know, too many people are just, and you're in California, sir, a lot of people just dying on the job, you know, historically, because, you know, they're not planning to work and they're just burning out, you know, too much.
So I want to go back to that. You mentioned something that's kind of fascinating to me, the emergency savings plan with an employer match. Okay, mm-hmm. as a former employer with a bunch of people, and then kind of thinking about all my clients and stuff, if I brought that up, how do you protect that and ensure that it really is for emergencies, that it's insurance, that it isn't just, oh, it's free money and here I am, I'm going to, you know, take some out.
That's a great question. I think that there needs to be some type of restrictions on a program like that, where you have employees, when they decide to sign up, and let them know you cannot touch the money, because people get the itch, right? They start to think about, you know, this is money that I can see. Once you put restrictions, you can't touch the money. This is not for you to take out loans, for you to take out, right? And dissolve the account. You can't touch the money ever. You have to keep letting that retirement account, you know, build up and up and up. I think that's a great way to position it.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So Ty, if people want to be able to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
All right. Thanks for asking. You can. You.
Yeah. They may want to continue the conversation now that, I mean, that brings up another point though. You know, for a lot of folks, they don't have somebody who it's safe to have these conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you provide an invaluable service around that, whereas it might be emotionally charged with family or, you know, maybe your business partner, maybe not, maybe their circumstance is very different. You're definitely not going to talk to your staff about all the details and the gory details, especially on the personal side and stuff. So yeah. But how do they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking. Well, first and foremost, just want to say thank you for offering me to the opportunity to come on and speak to your audience. I have a workbook that's available called Financial Principles, 6 Fundamental Strategies to Create Wealth. It's available on Amazon and on our company's website at www.freedomfinancialinstitute.com. I also offer a self-directed course that's available. You get lifetime access and you go at your own pace. For all your listeners, for all your listeners who want that course, you can always email me at ty@freedomfinancialinstitute.com and just mention Sturdy's podcast and I'll give you a special discount on the course. And just like you mentioned before, sir, we offer one-on-one intimate financial coaching. Intimate financial coaching holds you accountable. It's a safe space, you know, no judgment zone. You know, we offer those sessions. We offer 4 sessions for $1,000, and they come in the form of 3 months, 6 months, 12 months plans. You can always go to my personal website at www.tygrady.com to book a one-time free consultation, and I'll be right there to make sure you're taking the steps towards financial independence and freedom so you can get a renewed sense of purpose.
Nice, all right. Nice. And for those listening, not looking at the notes or if you're driving or something, it's Ty, T-Y.
Yep, Ty, Ty, T-Y, Grady, GRADY.com.
Sweet. So are there any other thoughts you want to leave us with before we wind down?
You know, I do want to say that, you know, it's important that we continue to build safe spaces, you know, and get into the minds of people, you know, in the workplace so people can have a say-so and a sense of belonging, you know, in the workplace. And I think that, you know, just having these discussions will make sure that organizations start to think about, you know, how to bond people together so people can feel a part, you know, of the organizations. To attract new staff and to retain talent, to make sure it makes sense. And as long as we continue to let people know what's going on, you know, with personal financial planning, with planning their finances, the successful businesses, people can know what's happening going forward. And that's how we get into the minds of individuals and business leaders and business owners. And like I said, I thank you, sir, for allowing me to speak with you on podcast, because all we want to do is change lives, get people to the next level.
No, I love it. I think breaking down some of these walls and taboos and, you know, where you started with the conversations about money and the mindset, it really is important. And I'm you're stirring up all kinds of things for me too, so I'm thinking about it. So appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.